And sitting in front of me is Letterkenny woman Georgie Riley. Thank you so much for coming on the programme, Georgie.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
And we're talking about your grandmother, Catherine Gregory, who worked for the famous author Mark Twain.
That's right.
How did that end up coming to pass?
Well, Granny was one of five children now. We're not quite sure why she was the chosen one to go. But when she was 16, as far as we know, a member of his household staff was at home and had presumably said, I can find another kitchen maid or housekeeper or whatever for you. So based on that, she was chaperoned out then to America by this lady. I think her name was Bates. But we're not quite sure. But that's amazing how relatively little we know, actually. Mm. But we were not... So she went out anyway. She left... she was born in 1885, so she left in 1901 on that long journey.
On her own?
With this lady.
Okay, yeah, but still, to leave your family and go to America, you know, a brave and bold decision.
And to 6 weeks by ship, and to stop off at Ellis Island, as they all did. And she also, obviously different from other people leaving home, she had already secured employment. Mm. So it was different and maybe more reassuring for her family to do that. And so she went out there, and I presume she was a housekeeper in the sense, maybe in those days, you know, such a long time ago, actually. She was dusting and doing all the cleaning. She certainly was the cleaner in his room, his bedroom, where he did his dusting, because there are quite a few, she used to tell us quite a few things about the writing bureau and about things she did. For example, one day he came in and he said, Catherine, you've been in my bedroom today. She says, I have, sir, you know, quite subservient. She says, I have, sir. He says, and she says, I didn't disturb anything, sir. I didn't disturb anything. I left everything back where it was. He says, oh, yes, you did. You disturbed my thoughts.
Because prior to this, you'd have been asked not to go into that room, would you?
Well, I'm not too sure about that. But he must have presumed he was such a, he seemed to be such a humorous, gentle man. Of course, he was about 60 when Granny went there. And if you remember his most famous book, Huckleberry Twin, which we are so privileged to have in our family now, Huckleberry Twin was published in America the year Granny was born, which is quite a coincidence. Mm. And he actually gave her the book. Signed then.
And when she went over there, was she aware that she was going to be working for such a famous person?
Wouldn't think so.
So I don't know if it would have been a pleasant surprise or not, because, you know, artistic people can be quite temperamental at times. Yeah. What did she relate as to his general demeanour on a day-to-day basis?
Well, he seemed to be very fond of her, because when she came home after 5 years and met Grandad Bob then, who had become her husband. And strangely enough, we were just thinking about that the other day. I mean, she met Grandad Bob, but she went back again for another 4 years, having promised to marry him. But he did say on one occasion to her, he said, this man you're going to marry, Catherine, must be very special if you're leaving me to go back to him. So they had that, they obviously had that kind of a relationship. Mm. Now, she also seemed to work closely with his children. So I don't know what you'd call that job that she had, you know. And she apparently moved. He had four homes. She went initially to New York, but she did move to different homes with him as well.
Yeah, it sounds like a professional wife, if you know what I mean. And what I mean by that is just, you know, taking care of a lot of the things purely on a professional basis, you know, in that regard. And he obviously then come to lean quite heavily on her then.
Well, the granny we knew was very witty. Mm. So I imagine in her younger days, she might have been quite a spirited young lady as well. And maybe he was looking out for her. Remember, he was a good bit older than her when he went, and in fact, granny wasn't very long home when he actually died. He died in 1910 at the age of 74. So granny came back then, and I mean, a young, early 20s. And she wasn't long home when he actually died.
And it's difficult to sort of, maybe it is difficult to sort of try and tease out the history and get the information, because what she was relating at the time when she was alive is her normal. Now, we're reflecting back on it, and it's really quite remarkable. But, you know, when it's just your regular life, how much of the nitty-gritty do you actually, you know, divulge? It's more exciting for us almost.
But do you know what, to me, is... It's a regret, but it's a sign of the age that we were at the time, because I'm one of eight children, so it was a busy, busy house. Granny Gillespie, Catherine Gregory... was my mother's mother. And in a busy house of eight children, Mummy used to throw in, even to neighbours who'd call, you know, well, you know, my mother worked for Mark Twain. But nobody took it that seriously, because in those days, Greg, they were busy getting on. We went down every week to Gillespie's, because Granny lived there with her son George and his children. He had four children. So she lived there until she died at the age of 92. And, you know, when I think back, she would try, I mean, I was 16, 17, she would try and tell us things about Mark Twain. And we were not remotely interested. At 16, you don't even know who he is, you know. So, which, it is a regret that we didn't sort of record that. You don't think about things like that.
Did she keep a journal or diary that we know of?
No, just the stories.
Or letters back home even?
No. They wouldn't have kept the letters.
Yeah, true enough.
And
yeah.
She was a letter writer. Neighbours came from all over. Would you believe that the letters they wanted her to write were letters of sympathy when people died?
Really?
So, because she had lovely handwriting. Yeah. And as far as we know, when his secretary died, he recognised that, and she did longhand quite a lot of his writing. Mm. But isn't it strange? For all his writing, we can find nothing about her. Because the staff were probably in a different...
Yeah.
She was never mentioned.
But we don't necessarily know her influence, you see.
No.
You know, who's to say what conversation as he was penning something he may have bounced off her, and her influence could be in the work, yet we should never know. Perhaps
That's
we won't
right.
ever know.
But isn't it amazing? One of the books, as you possibly know, was Personal Recollections of Joan of Arc. Mm-hmm. And on the fly leaf, he had written, "Catherine, it is better to deserve honours and not have them than have them and not deserve them. Your friend and author, Mark Twain." So, I mean, that was a fabulous thing, to a personal book to her. You know, he gave her four books, signed books.
Are they still in the family, are they?
Two or three are.
And at the period of the life, Mark Twain's life, that your grandmother was involved in, he was quite reflective and you know, thinking quite deeply and stuff as well.
And not realising it, but he was coming to the end of his life as well.
So, it's kind of a frustration, isn't there? Because there's so much stuff we should know, there's so much info we should have, and just purely because it was a different time, we don't quite have it now. I mean, if it were now, she'd be sitting there.
Sure,
it probably wouldn't have the same.
No, but I'll tell you what pleases us. What pleases us is, at this late stage in our lives, to be able to maybe, I don't know why it matters, but to let people know that we did have a grandmother who did that.
And that's what I was going to ask you, because I know this is not the first time it's been discussed, okay? But there's quite a bit of talk about this as of late. Is it only now, really, that, you know, your grandmother is getting, that Catherine is sort of, you know, we're talking about her?
Well, the first time it was mentioned that she was a maid for Mark and Mark Twain's household staff, the first time it was mentioned was on the occasion of her 90th birthday in Keys Hotel.
Wow.
And that was just a footnote at the bottom of what was in the local paper. So that passed, nothing happened. Now, I'm in the Past Pupils Committee of Rafone Prior for the last 30 years, so this is my last year, but I put in an article, My Grandmother and Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my friends were shocked.
It just blew up from there.
That had happened.
Yeah.
And that's a good wee while. That was on the occasion of Mark Twain's, the centenary of his death.
Yes.
In 2010.
Yes.
At the age of 74. But... nothing happened in between. Nothing. Even though there was this thing, I thought, on my mother's behalf. Mummy would love, the fact that we never listened to her when we were young, she would just love that we might address it now. So nothing happened until, as you possibly know, Ronnie, my brother who drives for Bus Éireann, He was on the walls of Derry one day. And who else was on the walls of Derry? Only Brian McDade. Brian's looking and he's musing and he's thinking about people who left Derry and went to the America and all the rest of it. And Ronnie didn't know Brian McDade and they were just talking, small talk, and Ronnie says, well, my granny did that, you know.
And that was the start.
And that was the start.
Yeah.
And then Brian did the thing in Donegal Derry.
So what are you going to do then, you know, to sort of, I mean, there's no point just talking about it. And we should mention too that Catherine's from Ballybuffet originally, isn't she?
You know where Lidl's is now?
Yes.
Dunyan's Garage? Mm-hmm. Just the upper part there.
All right.
A little cottage. She was one of, I think, five children there.
So presumably, Anna, you mentioned your mum, you mentioned your gran. You want to do something, you know, or have something more permanently recorded or recognise it in some form or other. Is that the plan?
No. There's no plan at all. Mm. That was it, full stop. Because, I mean, things that have happened that have brought Granny's life sort of to the fore of late, they have not been at our instigation at all. That's the funny thing about it. People have come to us.
It
seems to have just happened. Now, we haven't even given any thought as to anything else we would do at all.
Okay.
And yet, as you speak, couldn't it be a play?
Well, that's it, because it is. There's enough in there that's quite remarkable,
right,
that a talented writer could definitely weave a story out of that, because there is, you have the decision that she left, you have the love story with your grandfather, perhaps in between her two trips to America, his...
And we have great-grandchildren who could play her, and we have the likes of us who could play the old granny.
Yeah, so who's to say? Yeah,
but we haven't thought beyond that.
But it is nice that it's been talked about, I think, you know, isn't it?
It's as much as I want, It's as much as I want.
And why did she come back? Do we know that, by the way? I meant to ask you that at the time, because...
She obviously came back to get married.
Yeah.
And her husband, died young. He just died within a few minutes, sitting in his chair, massive heart attack. Well, he's about 60, you know, but Granny lived another 32 years after that. But she had a lovely voice as well, a lovely singing voice, and she had a lovely go about her. Do you know that expression?
Mm.
And she would dance about the kitchen. I can still see her just with the brush.
Mm.
If music came on. There was music in that family, you know.
Mm.
And she was just so wise, you know. And yet nobody wanted to hear her story when she came back from America. Because they didn't know Mark Twain.
And to an extent, you have to sort of think maybe, you know, it was a bit lonely for them. Because, you know, so much of
her life
is not relevant to the people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm on about. There were just at times that you think, you know, I wish there was someone I could talk about that could share, that understood my experience.
But do you know what I would like to do? I would like to find out more about the lady or her family who chaperoned her. I think she's Bates.
Bates, yeah.
But isn't it amazing how little we know about our ancestors?
Mm.
I was thinking to myself, I don't even know who Granny's mother was.
Yeah.
Was she Bates?
Mm.
Imagine I don't even know that.
Yeah. But
so we'll have to delve a bit more now.
Yeah, and there's massive records online. And
yeah.
I know many of the people listening will have explored their own family trees. Mm. I think it's almost a light switch goes off when you get to a certain age. And I don't mean very old either, that you sort of do start taking an interest in where did you actually come from.
Mm. It's as we get older.
Yeah.
It's as we get older ourselves.
Well, listen, it's been delightful speaking to you. And,
I have enjoyed it.
Your search for information continues.
Yes. You never know who'll ring in the station.
Well, that's it, exactly.
And
this Bates lady, who would have had contacts in America, they would have been looking for someone to work over there.
Yeah.
She contacted Catherine, and the rest is history.
Yeah. And I think about people who are forced to leave Ireland.
Yeah.
As opposed to Granny, who went and came back with her story. It's different.
Yeah.
You know, and we were always very proud. She was always just called Granny Gillespie. Granny Gillespie this and Granny Gillespie that, you know.
Yes.
Full of hints and tips and wisdom.
Well-travelled, of course.
Well-travelled, imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was able to bring the books home with her as well, which is quite nice, because it's another connection right back through to it.
Yeah.
And... it's just a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's just a nice thing. Listen, thank you so much for calling in and discussing it with us. I just have a feel, I think that idea that you had, or not the idea that you had, because I know it's not anything that's been planned, but the reenactment or a play about it, because as I say, it's a classic story of the time, but it also has, you know, it has the intrigue of the famous author. I think there's that bit of a love story there. It's quite nice as well.
Yeah. I learn myself.
I think your granddad maybe thought Mark was the other man in,
the sugar daddy, maybe.
Well, you know, you don't have to be involved with someone to sort of, you know.
But can you imagine the worry for the parents?
I would say that the emotions would be close to that of bereavement, probably, in a way. You know what I mean? You know they're alive and you hope they're safe. But I presume the maternal maternal instinct would be that, you know, there'd be that sense of loss when they're so far away.
Yeah. I also think going to look for work would have been much more of a worry, you know, knowing no one.
Exactly.
But she did.
Okay, well, that is Georgie Riley talking about her grandmother, Catherine Gillespie, is it? Okay.
She was Catherine Gregory.
She was
Catherine
Gillespie. Gregory. Okay, there you go. From Ballet Buffet.
Yeah.
A really, really interesting story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you.